quick, do you guys want to all introduce yourselves and say what instrument you play?
I'm James McNear. I don't play anything. I'm the vocalist.
I'm Eli Cohen. I play guitar.
I'm Ari Garfin. I play keyboards.
I'm Julian Freeman, and I play drums.
I'm Michael, and I play trumpet.
And not with us is Henry. He's the bass player.
Where's Henry today?
He just had to leave little bit early.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Some family shit.
Nice. Yeah. You guys are fresh off a show last night.
Mm-hmm.
How'd that go? How was that compared to your usual shows?
Crazy packed.
Yeah, it was pretty packed. I would say we don't play too many house shows, though. So, okay. Like, I don't know. This was definitely a good one of, like, the house shows that we played. But I feel like we play venue shows mostly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So more used to, like, being on a stage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which one do you like better?
It all depends.
I don't know. Venue shows are cool for, like, one reason, and house shows are cool for another reason.
Yeah.
Like, house shows are intimate.
Yeah. There's ups and downs. Like, I really like house shows. I like how it's, like, you know, it's packed, it's crazy, it's just, like, fucking wild. You're in somebody's basement, just, like, getting teed. And
you can do whatever you want.
I think shit going awry... Oh, my bad. I think stuff going awry is more often at house shows, though, just because everyone is so close.
Yeah, it's like, anarchy.
Yeah, you know, like, I had some stuff getting unplugged yesterday. Got switched off.
Yeah. No, someone kicked out the power cord. For like half a song, there was just like no piano, no vocal, and like trumpet mic was not on. And there was like people just falling on us left and right. And like there was just like girls in the front row who were just like, they were like falling on me and the bassist. And we're trying to play. But like, whatever. But no, house shows are great. I love house shows. It's just there's a higher chance of like stuff getting like messed up.
Right.
And like,
but that's part of the charm, right? Yeah.
Definitely.
It's like a whole experience.
How long have you guys all been like performing together?
About 3 years, 3.5.
No, I feel like it's longer. It's gotta be longer.
Maybe almost four.
Almost 4 years. I feel. Can you remember the first live show you guys did?
Yeah.
It was
he said yeah.
It was at this place called Main Stage, right?
No.
No, not even Vineyard, dude. Backyard.
No, Vineyard was first and then Mess Fest.
No one can remember the first live
show. No, it was Mess Fest. No, it was Mess Fest first. It was the first Mess Fest. Or the second one.
I'm pretty sure it was
Vineyard. They were like a day apart and like the Vineyard was first and then Mess Fest.
Really?
Vineyard was first and then Mess Fest was a day after it. Or 2 days after it.
I always thought it was...
And because I remember we have video of that first one. That's somewhere.
But how'd it go? How was the show?
The Vineyard show was like
pretty good, I think.
Yeah, it was like it was decent for our first ever show.
I remember Vineyard, we hadn't released music.
Yeah.
Like we were getting ready to release music, but like that was still just our first like live performance. And then we released music and then the next day played this backyard music festival that our friend was throwing. And it was really cool because people were singing the hooks to the song that we had just released like the day before. Whoa, so that was pretty wild.
Yeah, that was
cool. Yeah, there were a decent amount of people there. That was fun.
Do you guys get a lot of love from back home where you're from, Evanston?
I mean, I don't know how it is now just because like I'm not in the school, but I know that like when we were there, not too much. Like people were just like, oh, it's those guys. Like they're... We know them. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Yeah, people in Evanston go up to my little brother at school and, like, we'll talk to him about the band. And my parents have been out at dinner before in Evanston where people have come up and talked to them about stuff, which is weird.
Yeah. It's definitely changed in the last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think our perception of it is, like, accurate.
Because, like, the younger kids like us a lot more. Like, we have a lot more draw with the younger kids. But like people our grade, a year below, and the older kids. Mm. There was a bunch of like there was people there last night who were like my sister was a senior at Evanston Township when I was a freshman, and her friends were there.
Yeah,
and they were like juniors or whatever, and they were like super stoked to see us. They're like, "Yo, we love you guys." Mm. I was like, oh, that's raw. Yeah.
That's cool. Is it just because, like, there's not a huge music scene in Evanston, or just, like...
No, there isn't. It's like a sports-driven town, honestly. I mean, there is, like, there's the pocket of, like, arts and stuff like that, which is cool. Like, if you get there, if you get to, like, the pocket that is, like, arts and music and all of that, there's a lot of, like, really dope people doing it. But, like, the majority of the town, the draw is, like, you know, Northwestern's over there, so people really love to, like, go to, like, the tailgates and all of that, and, like, the sports scene was, like, so much bigger. So because of that, naturally, we got more draw from, like, in the city. And so we were, like, seeing most of our views and most of our, like, listens and, like, our fans coming from the city, so we were getting, like, venues in the city and playing shows there, and we weren't seeing people that we saw at the high school. It was just like,
I remember I saw you guys had a show at Reggie's, right?
Which one was that?
I think it was the one you guys were headlining. If I
was that over the summer?
Yeah, I want to say so.
Okay, I remember that. Yeah, it was a fun show.
Yeah.
So then, because most of, like, you were popular mainly in the city with people in the city, did you just end up going there and joining that music scene, or like
in Chicago?
Yeah,
Chicago. I was curious about that, because you guys, you rap and you also have these hooks as well, but, like, are you guys within, like, the rap scene of Chicago, which is very huge?
Like, kind of.
I don't know. Really. Yeah.
You're probably not.
Yeah. Do you guys even consider yourselves, like, hip-hop, a hip-hop group?
There's, like, hip-hop influence.
Yeah, sure. I wouldn't say we're, like, a hip-hop group. Like, because, like, now most of the time it's not even, like, with me, like... Because I feel like the majority of what you would say was us being a hip-hop group was, like, just me rapping.
Sure.
But now it's not even, like, I'm just, like, rapping anymore. I, like, kind of majority of, like, what I'm doing is, like, melodic and all of that.
Right.
So, I mean, there's definitely, like, I wouldn't say we're, like, not hip-hop. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But we're definitely, like, just a...
Hip-hop influence.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's other influences too, you know?
Yeah. Does it even matter to you guys, like, what genre you guys are classified under?
Not really.
I feel like that doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
I've just been telling people it's Mammals music lately.
Yeah. Yeah, business. I think that's the best way to describe
Empire
it.
Music.
Empire music. Empire
music. Business music.
The best people to get to hear the music are, like, Lyft drivers and stuff, because they're just, like, either bored or really happy to talk to somebody. Mm-hmm. So I'll go and Lyft, like... rides and stuff, and talk to them about the band, and I'll always say just, like, Mammals music. I don't really know how to classify it.
Sure.
And then they never really know what to expect, and then they're always, like, pleasantly surprised. It's nice.
When you play it for them? Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. So you're hit with Lyft drivers.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Sponsorship coming soon. All Lyft drivers.
You know,
I used to care about that, though. I used to care
about genre and classification.
Because it was just, like... what would you say, right? We never knew what to say. I mean, there was, like, at one point we did a DePaul interview and I was, like, really sick during it. They asked us what our music was, and what did I say? It was, like, futuristic Eurostep sex music.
Yeah.
Like, and I said it so quickly with
I think she took
face.
You very seriously.
She took me really seriously.
Sounds like a confident answer.
And she was like wow.
Yeah. Nice. That's amazing.
But now now it's just, like, it's whatever. It is what it is.
Yeah.
So then, because you guys are such a blend of genres, what are your crowds like? I bet it's, like, such a mix of people, like, hip hop, rock, like, funk, soul, jazz, everything.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah. It ranges in age too. Like, there'll be, like, if we do an all ages show, like, we'll see some young kids in there, like sophomores in high school and stuff, and then we'll also see, like, people in their 60s and older. Like, old people in there. Not necessarily old people, but, like, people that are, like, more than three times my age. You know what I mean? And that's kind of cool to see.
That is cool, like. But is it hard to play to the crowds that diverse?
Mm-hmm. No, not really. I mean,
we
just play it's a show.
We just
gotta
do
it.
Because everyone will be happy.
Exactly.
We
just do our thing.
I guess.
Yeah.
That's true. Go ahead.
When I first heard your music, what immediately came to my mind was Kids These Days, just because coming from Chicago and that band. But, like, in terms of influences, both in the city and out, like, what do you think plays into the Mad Wolf sound?
There's a ton of stuff.
Yeah, it really ranges from each person, you know?
Yeah.
I would say that, Kids These Days, like, definitely was an influence on us. But, like, I don't know. I think we're going in a little bit different direction than they were doing. We could list everyone that we like, but, like...
And also with Kids These Days, it wasn't like we were trying to, like, copy them.
No.
It just, like, just happened. Because we all just, like, all played our respective instruments. And I didn't sing until Man Wolf, so I never even thought about it. or rap or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like we all did our own stuff, and then like we brought our own flavors to the table because it was just like what we all liked individually.
Yeah.
And it just like pooled together and to create what it is. Because we all like, we all listen to like hip hop, we all listen to like R&B and jazz and whatever, whatever. Some people listen to more of some stuff than the other.
Yeah.
And, you know, comes into play. Just we, like we've always
we definitely all have like different music tastes.
Mm-hmm. Like different some, but
like,
similar.
Like yeah. It overlaps, but everyone likes things for their own reason.
Mm. Yeah.
Does that help when you guys are like making songs, kind of? To have all these different ideas going on?
Yeah, I mean, it helps, and sometimes can be hard because we have six folks that all like have good ideas to bring to the table.
Yeah.
So it can be like a wading through the ideas for a bit before we find like a good one sometimes, but sometimes it also can be very helpful to have so many different opinions too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It can collide.
Yeah.
Sometimes, because it would be like people have their own vision for what the song should be.
Yeah, I feel.
Because like just recently there was a song where I was like, oh, I want it to fade out, like blah blah blah. Like I was like going heavy for that. I was like, it needs to fade out, and people were like, maybe.
Yeah, like I think me and one other person weren't like with the fade out, and then
yeah.
So then it just sparked like a long conversation about it that just didn't like. Necessarily need to be there, but sure, it happens.
But it's just like little things like that, like the fade out and shit like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hear. Did you guys all meet in high school then?
Earlier.
Before?
Oh, yeah. Earlier. Most of us went to the same middle school.
Oh.
We met Michael at high school. Hmm. Yeah.
Freshman year.
Yeah.
And then instantly hit it off, decided to make a band or
not?
We started skating with Jamie. That's how I got into it. But yeah, everyone was like, in 7th grade it started?
Yeah.
Yeah. 7th or 8th grade.
We were doing like different garage bands and stuff like that.
Sublime cover band.
Exactly. We had like at one point 12 people in the studio we used to go to.
Oh.
And no one was actually like necessarily doing a whole lot, but everyone was doing a lot at the same time. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And that didn't really work out. Yeah.
Yeah, like, dude. We all, like, we bounced around from instrument to instrument, like, in the beginning. Because we were all just, like, playing different, like, bands.
Yeah.
It wasn't, like, nothing was Man Wolves yet. It didn't get established till, like, sophomore year, really?
Yeah.
Like, late sophomore year, honestly.
I mean, freshman year.
Freshman year.
Yeah, but Michael wasn't there, and Schaefer was the guitarist.
And freshman year, it was True. Us, but then, like, we took a huge hiatus. It was like after we made that one song, we just didn't do anything. And for a minute there, I thought we were just like done, and then we like popped back into it.
Yeah, but also we were so young. So like, can you even call it a hiatus?
Yeah, no. Yeah.
What were we doing? Like, hiatus from like,
just like
messing around.
Yeah, I hear you.
And then from the beginning stages of the band, did you guys just at first just start jamming, or like did you want to craft songs from the beginning and release recorded music?
We had shout out Jim Tulia. Jim is a producer who owns a studio in Evanston, and we had like ideas early on, and like I remember some songs that we wrote like really early on that are just hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And so like we had like the right like place we wanted to go, we just didn't know necessarily how to get there.
Right.
And so Jim really helped us early on, like create a cool sound and
hone in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like what we could do. So like we'd come with ideas, and like it was a very early time for us. So a lot of us were like starting to discover new music or like getting over old music that we liked, and we would like just come to the table with literally just like a walking bass line, like a jazz walking bass line, and mm-hmm. like a hip hop beat or whatever, and try to like put it together, and it wouldn't necessarily sound like 100% at first. And then Jim really helped us like record it into good like tape sound recordings. Uh-huh. And like understand more about what we needed to do.
Right.
And so like over time we were starting to able to, like we are now, do more of it on our own.
But yeah. you guys were putting out recordings from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then those recordings, did they just gain popularity naturally, like organically, just word of mouth?
The first single we put out, like freshman year or whatever, when Michael wasn't in the band, we made like CDs of it and just gave them out to people at school freshman year, and that didn't really do anything, that song. But After Michael joined the band, we started recording more and releasing just singles at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a bunch of like followers on SoundCloud just from people listening to it and people at school in Chicago and other places. And then like I think we've been on Spotify for like a year and a half now.
Has it been a year and a half? I thought it was. It's been like a year.
It's been since January, so a year and
three months, four months.
Yeah.
So when we switched over to Spotify, all of those plays and people that were listening on SoundCloud all jumped over to Spotify, and yeah. Sorry, I'm getting sidetracked on your question, but yeah,
you that's all good.
Yeah, I mean, like,
when that happened. One song, You, got, like, a lot of traction quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then Spotify, like, recognized that. And then it made it to the number four slot on the Billboard US Viral 50 playlist.
Wow. Nice.
For real? Which was cool,
Spotify?
Yeah.
It was wow. Spotify That's Viral awesome. Yeah. 50. It wasn't Billboard. It was on a Billboard website.
Yeah. Oh, okay. But it was Spotify. It was a Spotify. Okay.
Viral 50. Yeah.
And that was within the last year?
Yeah, that was, like, around January last year. And after that, we got, like, a lot of attraction, like, early on, you know? Mm. And I don't know. I think that was, like, a good that was, like, a good transition between SoundCloud to Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Has the year following that kind of been playing out the same way, just in terms of moves being made?
Yeah.
It seems like it.
Yeah, like, different songs get picked up by different playlists and... You know, Spotify Discover helps a lot.
Yeah.
The radio helps a lot.
This new song that we just released, Weather is Warm, is like really, it's going real fast on Spotify. Like a lot of views, a lot of views. At first it started off like a regular song that we would release, and then it got on Lyrical Lemonade's like top 25 tracks of like this month or whatever.
Yeah.
Nice. And after that, it got on a playlist called Clout Culture, which is funny because it was like, it definitely got on because of the Lyrical Lemonade playlist.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And on the Lyrical Lemonade playlist, it was like Ski Mask, Lil Pump, you know, Smoke Purr.
And then
like,
on the same
thing. And then Man Wolf.
And then Man Wolf. So it was like all SoundCloud-esque rappers and then like Man Wolf. So and we were the only like non-explicit song
on it.
Some
people just thought you were like that. Yeah.
And so people, and then I guess Spotify thought we were like whatever like that, put us on Clout Culture, which was raw.
To us, that's cool. Like funny.
Yeah.
We're the only band in that playlist. And all that else is produced beats and like.
Yeah. And also, it doesn't sound like it doesn't sound similar. We don't like sound like SoundCloud rap.
Yeah, it really doesn't.
Nothing bad with SoundCloud rap. It's
but that
like,
playlist does have different. Like 280,000 like That's followers. Cool.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It helps.
I do not mind if they put us in a Clout Culture playlist. Yeah.
Exactly. Right in between 03 Greedo and Lil Aaron.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's pretty dope.
Makes sense to me. So what was your first like big like media pickup that really boosted you guys? Was it the Spotify thing?
I think yeah,
it was Spotify.
Yeah, just cuz that like set like a foundation.
Okay.
You know, I don't know if we've got like if any like write-ups per se have like really helped us.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I feel like people are going to listen to it if they're going to listen to it.
Right. Yeah.
You know. Yeah, I think that like that first Spotify playlist is what really helped us.
Most of the media that posts us is like Chicago music blogs and like a lot of local stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get like posted by like Fake Shore Drive,
right.
Which is a good big music blog, and obviously lots of people outside of Chicago know that.
Yeah.
We recently just got Weather's Warm was posted on Ruby Hornet, which is another big Chicago music blog. And they posted in like their top something playlist for the week or whatever, which was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But like a lot of the songs that get posted on media outlets in Chicago are a lot of local stuff, and it's a lot of just people in the city of Chicago seeing it, and then anybody who follows it outside of Chicago sees it too.
Okay.
But
I think the reason why Spotify helps a little bit more than that is just because it's all over, you know?
Yeah. Right, yeah. And everyone, like, doesn't matter where.
Exactly.
You are.
Exactly.
We can like go in our stats and then we can see like people cities, listening to the music in like Latvia. And like Uruguay and places that just you would not necessarily know of just from it being posted on a music
that's
blog.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So Europe tour coming soon?
Yeah, last
year. Yeah, that would be raw.
Let's get it.
We're trying that's to get cool. the U.S. tour going first.
Yeah.
Get five people at each show at the Europe tour. We're sleeping on the street.
Exactly.
you guys are still independent?
Right? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Plans to stay independent?
Yep.
You're
as long as possible. I mean, unless the right thing happens.
It is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel
if
that.
If it's good, then it's good. If it's sweet, then it's sweet. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, if we can do it by ourselves, I guess, like, why not?
Mm-hmm.
If it's just, like, working out, then, like, why not? But, yeah. You know.
You're her.
Say something happens.
What is the future hope for the Man Wolves in terms future of music and projects you guys been working on?
Keep progress. Doing more. I mean, we're about to come out with a project pretty soon.
Like, so yeah, next couple months.
Like, is this your debut project? I guess?
We wouldn't say it's our like it's debut like album or anything. Okay, it's gonna, but it is gonna be like our first like tape.
Yeah,
okay. real tape.
Got it.
Not our first album, but like, you know,
because we're just on our mixtape grind to this point. Right now. Yeah.
datpiff.com.
livemixtapes.com.
I'll put the Man Wolves on datpiff.
Like you ain't
Is that on? That would be raw. I think there was a datpiff. You know how you like on datpiff.com you can see like people make like DJ playlist almost, and it's just like popular songs, and they make a mixtape out of it. Like a couple of DJs from like datpiff or like datpiff DJs pretty much. It's not like datpiff's DJs, but like people who just DJ and put their mixtape on datpiff.
I love datpiff.
Yeah. They've hit us up and they've been like, "Yo, can we put your song on
it?"
Oh,
for real?
And that's cool. I don't think we've ever said yes. Because it's like no, but I don't know, it's wrong.
What's like the craziest love you guys have gotten, or like
we have a fan who has two tattoos, one is our logo and then one is one of the singles covers. Arm. Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, whole forearm just dedicated to
mammals.
She's gotta like us now.
Yeah. She's in it.
Yeah. I didn't
she's,
know her.
She's locked
I didn't
in.
Know her.
Yeah, like we met her like through shows.
Or twice.
Yeah, I met her because she got the tattoo, and people were like, "Yo,
she has a tattoo." Wow.
Or did we meet her before?
She came to Emporium.
She's a friend of Zeke.
Yeah.
Oh, she came to Emporium.
Yeah, she's friends with Zeke.
Oh, that was her. Yeah. We met her once before.
But yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is pretty crazy.
That was pretty cool. I'm trying to think of what else was some crazy love that we got.
Anybody, like, I guess, famous reach out?
No.
That happened yet?
No.
Cosigns?
No.
No cosigns. On the way, though.
On the way.
Yeah.
On the way.
That would be
anyone cool. You wish would reach out to you guys to, like, maybe make music together?
KKB blew my mind. I'd love to make music with KKB, but they probably, oh, who knows. But, like, for, like, a Man Wolves and someone?
Who I mean, that's, like...
I'm trying to have like Danny shot. Brown.
Chief cool. Keef, wow, I'm so serious. Wow. Listen Danny to Brown. Me. If Chief Keef is listening right now, bro, please, bro, slide on me.
So. No, he is.
So.
Chief Keef is listening.
Young bands, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, shout out to
Young
bands.
That'd be fun.
We just need to blow Jake's line. Tell that to come out of Chicago.
I'm saying.
Young bands, you? Man, we'll feature.
What about you, Meek? Who you think?
I don't even know.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's like
whoever. Whoever. I haven't really thought about it like that, like who I can picture on our songs.
But. Yeah. It's pretty much like anybody we think is cool, we would potentially want to get them on a track.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
Who are your favorite collabs? Because I know you had the song with Rook Wilson, and then you collaborate with John, right? Mm-hmm. So like, who are some of your favorite people to collab with?
Well, we don't collab with
people.
That was our first collab. Cool. Like
Rook Wilson and Kaina.
Yeah.
That's the only Man Wolves song we've done with features on it.
Yeah.
And I don't usually do stuff with other people. I just really like Jonte. He's for us.
And like I usually like if I'm making music, it's not with like anybody big.
It's just
like me and my homies making music. If it's like collabs like that. So
Was it different recording that song with Rick Wilson and Kaina?
Yeah, because it was like working with other people's schedules, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not
bad,
you know, like it was our first time, so it was like a little bit getting used to it, but it was like you gotta just work with other people's schedules, and like some people want to record where their studio is and they're recording where your studio is and send the files back and forth. It's not too crazy in this day and age with the internet, but like it is, you know, it is cool. We do like we haven't had like a session with people yet, like where we like sat down with someone and like created a song.
Okay,
and that I think that's gonna be like totally different, because it's gonna, we already have six people trying to make one song.
Yeah, add
seventh or an eighth, that's gonna be difficult. Mm-hmm. You know, but whatever, group project.
No, that makes sense.
Do you write most of the lyrics?
Yeah.
Or all of them?
Yeah.
Gotcha, gotcha.
Like from personal experience, or do you guys like collaborate on ideas and you just
put it's just pretty much like we'll come up with the like chords and the basis of the song, and then I'll feel it out and I'll just like write to it
wherever
it usually
goes.
What happens is like I come up with the chorus first.
Mm-hmm.
I like get the melody idea in my head and then like work backwards, put some words to it.
Got it.
I guess not work backwards, work forwards. I'll put the words to it, and depending on how the melody feels, if it's sweet, I'll add something sweet. If it's soft, I'll add something soft. If it's hard, I'll add something hard. It just depends. And then the words really like come after that. Mm-hmm. You know, I do put a lot of thought into my lyrics, which is, you know, take pride in those.
Now that you've like permanently switched to vocals, do you miss playing instruments at all?
Yeah, definitely. I was like, I've been teaching myself piano because I like make like beats and stuff like that. Like mm-hmm. I'll make like hip hop beats and like techno music and all of that. Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean it's raw. I love it so much. I love techno music, and just like making it is really fun because it's just like whatever. But I wish, you know, when I was a kid, I played guitar always. And like I wish I took it more serious and really like learned it, like mm-hmm. instead of just like learning like Jimi Hendrix covers and stuff like that. I mean, as raw as that was, but like, you know, I was like playing guitar, never really was that good. I like stepped away from my lessons because I started just trying to write my own music, and I didn't really know theory or chords that well. Mm-hmm. So it was just like me trying to write music with no like pathway,
right?
And then like, so I wish I learned that better. And then I like taught myself bass, like I was the bassist for a while for the band, and it was just like based off of the skills that I had from guitar, I just was like, okay, I'll just kind of mold it a little bit, and mm-hmm. like taught myself bass, started playing. I wasn't great, you know. I wasn't that good. I wish I learned more, but now I like with piano, like I'm teaching myself that, and I actually might do lessons because I want to learn an instrument well.
I feel.
Did you ever take like vocals lessons or anything?
I took one. I took one vocal lesson, where the woman, which I'm blanking on her name right now, but all she did was teach me how to breathe, because like all, you know, I'm not a singer. I'm no way a conventional like good singer at all. Like I started off really rapping because I wasn't confident in my voice. I didn't believe I could sing, so I was just like, I can keep a beat, I can, you know, hold a flow and all of that.
Right.
And so I was just like, I'll do that, and then like progressively I came more in touch with my singing and was like more like comfortable with it. But you know, I grew up listening to punk rock and all of that. Like I love the harder stuff. Like my favorite group right now is Death Grips. Like I love really hard stuff like that, and I couldn't really sing that well, so what I would do is I would scream. Mm-hmm. And I still do that. Like yesterday I was screaming, like hence you can hear my voice, but like that was what I would do. I would scream, and like it would get to the point where like after every show it was like I was losing my voice. So then I took one lesson where this woman helped me out, and she was like, yo, just like breathe right. I wasn't breathing right, and then I took that one lesson, and I was like, bet I can do this on my own. And then like,
no more.
And then I started like just breathing right, and then I took off with
and
it.
And the rest is history.
Yeah.
But when I listen to the tracks, I can definitely hear a progression in your vocals ability.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's definitely.
Yeah, like looking at the old music, I'm so much happier with what I'm doing now. Mm-hmm. Like some of the old music is just like I look back, I'm like.
Even from like the singles that are out now to like Weather is Warm that we just released to the stuff that we are sitting on right now and still working on, like you can the difference in all of our playing and just the quality of it all, it sounds like we've made progress.
Yeah.
It's the same band but just like two levels up.
Yeah,
it was
exactly.
Like, you know, we were Charizard back. I mean, we were Charmander back yeah. then. We're almost Charizard.
We're Charmeleon.
We're Charmeleon right now.
Nice. On the way. How'd you guys come up with the name?
It was pretty much like, you know, I used to get nightmares from this like American Werewolf in London back when I was like a little kid, and like my mom for a little bit would like try to like, you know, make it less scary for me and would tell me stories about the man wolves and just like stuff like that, just to like not freak me out, to like make it a joke. And then when we were in middle school, we had a group of friends, and I called the group of friends just Midwest Man Wolves. We were from the Midwest.
And we had a dodgeball team.
We had a dodgeball team. Yeah, that was wrong.
As the Man Wolves.
Yeah. You guys got W's? Off a
dodgeball team. Yeah, we actually...
By the administration.
Yeah, he got kicked off, the dodgeball team. This is so funny. He got kicked off the dodgeball team because we had the same class together. And Ari sat right next to me. I was like... And one day I turned to him. I'm like, yo, Ari, suck me. And he was like... No. I was just like, Ari, suck me. He's like, no. I'm like, it started just getting louder and louder, and the like louder and louder I got, like more people were like looking at me, and then finally I was like, Ari, suck me, in like the middle of class, and everybody like looked at me, all the teachers, all like we had like two teachers in our room, every like both of them looked at me, and then Ari goes, no, and then this one teacher goes, Ari, out. And you got like
bogus.
It was so bogus. I felt so bad.
And you were fine.
I was fine. They didn't even care about me.
They made Ari sit on the sideline while we were playing dodgeball. It was so bogus.
Man. So bogus.
Oh, fuck that shit. I just went home. Fuck that shit. Was after.
He's pressed.
That was so funny. But yeah, no. So we had like the dodgeball team and our group of friends, and we called it the Midwest Man Wolves. And then once we got a band, we're like, what do we name it? We had no idea. Drop and Midwest. I was like, drop the Midwest, and we got it, Man Wolves.
Nice.
Yeah. You guys still playing dodgeball?
I wish. I wanna join a men's dodgeball league. That would be raw.
Of all just
I wanna go to Sky High Sports.
All bands.
Metal all bands.
Slaps. Yeah.
We got some bands. We're friends with some metal bands and like friends with some other bands, and we could just like, I bet like Petrov, you know Petrov and his band would definitely want to play dodgeball against us.
Oh yes.
I would duff him. So no, he's low key swoller than me. He would
I don't know, bro.
I would smack him. Are like rubber balls or like the little
the foam ball? I don't know, bro. Rubber balls, that's harder to throw.
The foam ones?
Yeah. No, the rubber balls, I think, are. Because they're like bigger, so
you can't palm
like,
them. Yeah.
I feel like the palming is what's necessary.
No, you just gotta yeet it.
I don't know, bro.
You know?
I do not know.
Have you guys ever made a song about dodgeball?
I wish. Here we are. Raw.
We might have to.
I made a song about guavas, but I've never made a song about dodgeball.
Aguavas.
Yeah.
That's
aguavas.
Yeah.
Nice. You're here. I guess, so when you guys are composing and arranging songs, do you guys think about how you're going to perform it? Or do you just think about recording at
point?
And then adapt it later?
I think, I don't know, usually when we like, I don't know. There's like, sometimes we'll be like, okay, we could probably jam out on this section a little bit more if we wanted to play it live or something like
right,
that.
Right, yeah.
But
a lot of times in the beginning, we thought about playing it live while we were recording, and that was like one of the main things. Like, can we do this live?
Mm-hmm.
And so we'd like write songs and we'd record songs, sometimes more simplistic than we wanted to, but there was like the kind of the goal of being able to play whatever it was live. But we're kind of like realizing now that it doesn't really matter as much, because you can make a song sound very dope live, even if you're using different instrumentation, not necessarily a sound that you'd use on the recording, not a little layer or something, but you can find ways to kind of counteract that or add a different part that's kind of the same thing, but you can play it live.
Mm-hmm. And so do you guys like, I'm sure when you write specific songs, you expect them to get a certain reaction out of the crowd? Or do you just kind of see what happens when you play it live?
After the song is written, yeah, but we don't like write songs like trying to be like, oh, we're trying to get the crowd to like do this at this time or do this at that time. But like, songs that are slower are going to get a different reaction than songs that are faster. And you kind of just know that when you write the song. But
we've also, with some of our slower songs, people like get a little rowdy too, which is like
yeah,
right. Slow song.
Yeah.
Last night we had people mosh pitting to You. And which is like, I don't know if you guys know it, but it's like a ballad. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. And then like,
there's one time we played a show out in Colorado at Colorado College, and there was like these stairs. It was like this underground venue type deal, and like the audience would stand on the stairs. And we were playing These Days, which is another one of our slower songs, and people were like moshing and like falling over on the stairs.
Yeah. These Days is pretty groovy though. That's what pretty, is going like, on? You could move to that song.
Yeah, but it was still just like why are you risking your life for this? Because like there was a point in that show where like people like there was a point where I popped up onto the like steps going up, and like people were shoving me down the stairs. I was just like, whoa, okay, this is not cool. That show was wild, dude. Yeah. When the dog came in and threw up on the floor. There was a random dog. Random dog.
It was raw.
Came, threw no, up no, no, no. Floor? It didn't throw up. There was this girl. And she got really drunk.
She threw up on the
and
dog?
She threw up on... No, that would have been crazy. She threw up on the floor. Mm-hmm. And then people were like, oh. And then walked away. And no one cleaned it up. She like ran out. And everybody kind of just like avoided this area that was like throw up. And then a dog came in. And the dog started eating the throw up.
Oh,
and we were like, whose dog is this? And then like the whole dog...
You know whose dog it was?
The folks who... Do you remember the dude
that was walking around
tending the fire?
He was tending the fire with his bare feet.
Yeah,
poking
dude.
The wood fire, like logs on fire. It was at that party where that girl fell
crazy.
First into the
that
fire.
Was crazy.
Yeah, she fell into the fire.
Some girl's like walking up to the fire.
Oh my god.
And, like, she just trips and literally falls.
She was okay, no fire. Injuries.
Yeah, no injuries.
But it was just like, yo!
She was, and then I was teed, and so.
Threw a lighter in the
so
fire.
So she got up and she was all fine. I was like, okay. And she walked away. And I started the fire. Me and Julian started the fire. So I was like,
we were
okay.
At a random person's house. We did not know them. It was cold, so we started a fire.
And I was like, it's my fire. I can do what I want. And I threw a lighter in the fire, and I just waited.
I knew he was going to do it, too. I eyed him the whole time. So I backed away before he did it.
You backed like, away, and then like,
fire full of people two, still sitting then, there.
And yeah, people were sitting around. There was like 2 seconds time later, bomb. I was like, yo, lighter in the fire. And then just like blew. And everyone was like, whoa. And I was just like, all right, that was bogus. I wasn't thinking right, but that was
crazy. So for the listeners out there, there's a few things to expect at a Man Wolf show.
Yeah.
People catching on fire. You might risk your life if you're standing on the stairs.
Exactly.
Dogs.
Hungry
dogs.
Desperate dogs.
Some dogs.
But that's not the average show for you guys, right? Because you said you play mostly venues.
Mostly venues. Yeah. So it's just like, I mean, we've had people like smoking weed in venues before. That was crazy. That was like that was a milestone for me because I was like, saw on the side of the stage, like there was some guy just like smoking a blunt. I was like, wow, that's raw. But
someone was on stage once at one of our shows making out and they fell on my drums while we were like in the middle of a song.
At a venue?
Yes, making out on stage.
That was a venue show.
Bro,
same show, bogus? Someone got kicked in the head.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yo. Oh, yeah, that was bogus. What about Halloween show where there was two couples trying to have sex at our show?
What?
There was one
on the stage.
No.
At AMFM. Your parents were right next to them, bro.
Yeah. There was one. They were trying to have sex, like in the crowd.
And everyone was just like, "Yo, what are you on?"
People were like, "What is going on?" And then the other one, yo, it was like 40 degrees, maybe, or like 35. It was cold, really cold. And there was a couple outside, and I was like standing with our bouncer, Mitchell. I was like, yo, and the guy and the girl were just like making out furiously on this bench outside. I'm like, Mitchell, you don't think they're about to do anything, do you? And he's like, I don't know. And then like the guy like picked the girl up by her thighs and like sat her on the like, on the like, bench, and I was like, Mitchell, you really don't think they're gonna do anything? Do we need to kick him out? And he's like, I don't know. And I'm like, yo, I gotta take care of something because I had to like set up the stage for something. So I left, and then I came back. I was like, and they were gone. I was like, Mitchell, what happened? He's like, the dude started taking off his pants, so I told him to go. I was like, why? Why is this happening? But no, these are all. You know, outliers.
They're just the fun ones to
that's
talk
the
about.
Yeah.
It's the fun ones to talk about. Manuel shows are usually not like you're, you know.
Henry once, our bass player, did hop in the crowd and hit the pin drop in front of a bunch of people.
That was raw.
Wow. That was raw as hell.
That was raw.
So cold. That's cool.
When you stopped playing drums and you started crowd surfing.
Yeah, shout out the Burns twins. Eddie Burns is a really good drummer. He plays with a bunch of Chicago people. He's the drummer for like the Oh My's and a bunch of other bands. And
Claro,
yep. And he just hopped on. He was just cooling out on the side of the stage, and I wanted to get in the crowd for Bang. So he's done this at like 2 or 3 shows now, where he'll hop on at the end and play drums, and I'll hop in the crowd.
Dope.
Yeah, and usually the mosh pits do get crazy at our shows. Like, there's so many times where I've been punched in the face because I'll do this thing because I want to join the mosh pit. I just want to. So I'll put the mic down and I'll jump in, and people will just like start swinging on me, which is like, it's funny because there's a small group of people who always love the mosh pit, and then everybody else just makes this huge room for them just to go because nobody wants to.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like standing back, just like looking in disgust, and then it's just like a bunch of kids just whacking each other to like. And I love you.
Yeah, to like the slowest song possible.
Yeah,
exactly.
But so when you guys are doing venue shows, do you prepare differently for those? You guys play the shows differently, or it's the same kind of? Yeah, compared to house shows.
Usually, when we play a venue, we'll have like a set list written down beforehand, or like write it like on an actual piece of paper. Mm-hmm. But like last night for the show we did, we kind of just called it out as we had it written down on phone and just like said it as we went, and we took out some songs like in the middle.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just more loose.
Yeah.
More
free.
Yeah.
Because it's more about like just like fun.
The moment.
Cool. Nice. All right. So for the listeners, we're about to wrap this up. But for the listeners, tell them what you got going on.
Yeah, you got a new track out, right?
We got a new song, Weather is Warm, that just came out. Please listen on Apple Music, Spotify, Tidal if you have that, SoundCloud, everything good in between. That means YouTube also. And then we've got some new music coming out in the next couple of months. 8 tracks for all y'all people. Get ready, Man Wolf's coming like a typhoon, a storm on y'all. You already know who it is. You dig what I'm saying? We going in.
Hear her. Follow us on Twitter.
Hear her. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram.
Anyways.
Facebook, you already know, LinkedIn. ChristianMingle.com. You already know how we rocking. Man Wolves Band, Farmers Only. You know what's going on.
There's a.
You know how we're doing. Man Wolves Band, everybody. We love you down here in Champaign.
Any quick shout outs?
Any quick shout outs? Shout out Fifi Next Door and Young Duro. They're going to be playing a house party set today.
Shea Bon Bon.
And you already know how it's going to be. It's going to be great. If you want to see us there, if you're listening and want to see us there, you can meet us. Or you can just listen to some dope music.
Shout out the almighty Lord Lloyd himself.
Yes,
if
shout
you're
out.
Out there listening.
Shout Chang, out Chang my Dynasty. Man. My man.
We carry on the Chang Dynasty every
Chang
day.
Chang Dynasty forever. Wherever we go, it's Chang Dynasty.
You know what I'm saying?
Shout out Lloyd, the main man. My brother.
Lloyd.
Yeah.
Yo, hey, wait, where can they find you on social media and stuff?
Man Wolves Band. On Twitter, Instagram, Facebook is just Man
Wolves
Band.
Just Man Wolves.
Yeah. You already know. We have merch if you want to buy that at manwolfsband.com.
Exactly. We also got a Snapchat, but we don't really.
No, we got Snapchat. We use that. Snapchat, Man Wolves Band.
Blow our line. Add us on the Snap.
Respond in probably like within 50 days.
Yeah,
within
50
days.
Yeah, whenever we log in.
We'll have our people get to your Snapchat.
Our people will contact your people.
All right, sweet.
Perfect.
Thanks for coming down.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Once again, this has been Man Wolves on WPGU. Thanks for tuning in.
Gang.